Never Hard to Find by Miss Molly etc. Read by Night Tracer. Fandom Hockey RPF the Pittsburgh Penguins, pairing Sid Gino. Summary. Wherein Sidney Crosby gets laid and Russian diplomacy saves the day. There was the after party, and then the after party. And when Gino finally wormed himself free from Kobe's grip and his slurred, "Just one more shot, Xenia," there was Sidney Crosby fucking a puck bunny behind a ficus on the fifth floor. Gino, clearly, had not drunk nearly enough for this. He stumbled backwards, getting his ass pinched in the elevator doors as they closed. Gino jumped forward and whipped a hand over his mouth to cover his yelp. He stared at Sidney's back, the push of his naked ass. His jeans and boxers were stuck at his thighs. His ass was really white. Gino licked his lips and swallowed. Oh God. Sidney was having sex where Gino could see him and... Wow, that girl was totally faking. She was... Was she waving at him over Sidney's shoulder? Gino tore his eyes away from the couple in the corner, but the ficus leaves kept shaking into his line of sight. Gino cleared his throat. Sidney froze. The girl grunted. Gino swallowed. He looked up at the ceiling.
Is better in room, okay?
Silence, awkward as hell, reigned. Jesus. Gino wished he kept vodka in his room like Ovi and Sergei kept telling him to. Sure, it probably wasn't for this reason, but it would have been there, and he could drink it. Maybe the minibar. Still keeping his eyes on the ceiling, Gino walked past Sidney and the girl, tugging on the hem of his shirt, back and front. He felt weird, shaky with adrenaline, like he'd taken a hit. But he hadn't slammed into the plastic just yet. He fumbled with his key card at his door, but managed to get inside before any noises started up again. The minibar had no vodka, which just proved everything his mother had ever told him about America. But Gino made do. He'd managed to set his phone on the nightstand by his bed, in the midst of drowning his whatever after last night. But the shrill, old-fashioned bring of the tone Talbot had installed back when Gino couldn't read English still made him want to bury his head in the pillows. He smacked his hand out and caught his little finger on the corner of the nightstand. Gino flopped over onto his stomach, grimacing, and reached out again, grabbing his phone and flipping it open. He smashed the earpiece against his ear and groaned. "And good morning to you," Brooks exclaimed. Gino squeezed his eyes shut and licked his furry teeth, grimacing at the taste.
"What do you want?" he muttered.
"You," Brooks said cheerfully, "on the bus, with all your gear." Gino's eyes popped open. The room clock flashed 6:45 at him from across the room. He groaned again, letting his head fall back against the pillow. They were supposed to be on the road by 7.
"Shit," he said.
"Shit," Brooks repeated. 2-minute warning, I saw Sidney heading your way." Gino rolled to his feet, squinting against his headache, and grit his teeth at the bubbling lurch of leftover alcohol in his stomach.
"I'll be down in 3, he said.
"All right," Brooke said, "I'll save you a Danish." He hung up without saying goodbye, and Gino flipped his phone shut on his chest. He'd managed his pants, but last night's shirt still smelled like cigarettes and other people's stale cologne. The bed next to him was empty. Looked like not just Sid got lucky last night. Sidney had had sex last night. In public. Like he couldn't wait fast enough to... Gino took a deep breath and held it, before letting it out slowly, trying to calm himself. Sidney Crosby, who couldn't decide what to do on a weekend without producing 2 calendars and an itemized list, had fucked a girl
where anyone could see. It didn't make sense. The shirt was a loss, but the pants were still good. So he made it out of the room before anyone had to come and get him. Instead, he met Sydney at the elevator, right by the ficus. Gino pressed the down button and gripped the handles of his bag, resting it on his shoulders. He watched the numbers above the elevator light up. 18. 17. "Good morning," Sydney said, very calmly. He was using his, "Guys, we're down by two, and if we lose, then all the world loses with us, but emotions are for the weak," voice. Obi had named it. He was very drunk. Gino wished he knew less English than he did.
"Morning," he said.
They waited for the elevator. Gino rocked on his feet. Sydney cleared his throat. Gino glanced over and saw a splotch of colour, a bruise, above the collar of Sydney's polo shirt. He blinked, turning his head, just in time to see Sydney's ears bloom into red.
"Stop it," Sydney said. "Stop it," Sydney repeated.
He brought his hand up and stopped, hovering right over the bruise on his neck. Gino could still see it, peeping through Sydney's fingers.
"Was she..."
"I do it all the time," Sydney said. He swallowed and dropped his head. "Girls like me." The elevator doors dinged open, and Sydney jumped inside the carriage. He turned around on his heels and faced Gino, with his chin thrust out.
"All the time,"
Sydney said again, staring with a weird heaviness in his eyes. Gino blinked. That wasn't true. Gino didn't need language skills to know that was a lie. Sydney was serious and private and obsessed with doing the right thing. He didn't do anything like what Gino saw last night. Someone would have told him. The elevator dinged again, and the doors began to trundle closed. Sydney put his hand out and caught the right side door. "Aren't you..." He cleared his throat and shook his head. "You should grab something from the restaurant here. We don't want to be late to the bus." Gino suffered through the most awkward elevator ride, followed by the second most uncomfortable continental breakfast line of his life, and bolted for the team bus. He dimly registered sitting choking on a bagel as he followed him out, but didn't look back. He took the steps into the bus in one lunge, and nodded at Steve behind the wheel as he moved past him. Most of the guys had already taken up the first six rows of seats. He kicked Talbot's ankle out of the aisle as he passed, holding his overnight bag up in the air. Talbot looked up from his Nintendo DS and snorted.
"The fuck, man?"
he asked, eyes already sliding past Gino as he passed by.
"I was almost the fourth level."
Zbynek smacked Talbot in the shoulder from across the aisle, blocking Gino's path.
"Lies," he says. "Damn lies, Englishman." "You take that back," Talbot said,
sitting up as his very much not English accent thickened.
"I'm so glad we got that Netflix account for your birthday,"
Joe piped up from a row over. Gino nudged Zbynek's arm out of his way with his knee. Zbynek frowned up at him as he passed, but his gaze soon left Gino to swing back towards Sydney coming up the aisle.
"Ha!"
he shouted, and Gino froze right where he was, staring past the remaining filed seat to the blessed emptiness of the back.
"I know this one. I rent Mean Girls. Sydney has hickey."
Gino ground his teeth as the rest of the bus erupted into hoots and hollers. And guys, standing up at their seats, take a look at Sydney's neck. A couple of them slapped him on the shoulders as Gino walked towards the back, which was weird, but not as weird as everything else this morning. Behind him, he could hear Geordie cracking up, and Chris yelling something in too fast English. He glanced over his shoulder to see Sydney standing in the aisle, patiently waiting until Chris stopped poking at his neck. Chris glanced Gino's way, grinning, before turning his head back towards Sydney. Gino tracked him, couldn't help looking at Sydney's neck and the bruise he decorated it with.
He swallowed. I thought you were in a rush to get back, huh, Sid? He asked, pinching Sydney's cheek. He looked back at Gino and waggled his eyebrows. Sydney twitched his face out of reach of Chris's fingers. A grin slid up his face, calm and satisfied, like he was rehashing a win in the press room. What can I say, guys? She was really into me. The sound level in the room abruptly dropped. Even Geordie's evil giggle died in mid-breath. There was a brief, frozen moment, where nobody seemed to know where to look or what to say. And so Gino found himself just watching Sydney, trying to stare through his calm smile and distant eyes. Brooks knelt up in his seat. He said with a cough. Sorry, guys, Sydney said, raising the hand, not clutching the overnight bag in the air. I'm not the kiss-and-tell type. He flung his bag up into the overhead shelf and took the empty aisle seat next to Flower, who was looking back and forth between him and Sid. Gino put his bag in the aisle seat towards the back and took the window for himself. The glass felt cool under his forehead. Slowly, guys started talking again, joking and throwing snacks across the aisle. Coach boarded just in time for Steve to close the bus door on his heel. And no one bothered Gino for the entire 2-hour drive. It didn't make much sense, but he was grateful for it anyway. On the plane, Gino sat with Geordie and listened to him talk about his brothers and his family farm and the things pigs got up to. Well, possibly it was nephews, and not pigs. His English was more solid these days, but Geordie was clearly working himself up to saying something, and so he was talking pretty fast and a little too soft. Gino wished for vodka. Lots of it. And someone who spoke a proper language to drink it with. He hadn't been able to sleep on the bus like usual for some reason, and now he could feel sleep sinking long fingers into his brain. It made him clumsy. His eyelids slid downward. Gino, you awake? Geordie asked. Gino felt a light touch on his arm, just a brush of Geordie's fingers, and widened his eyes.
Yes, he answered. So,
He saw Geordie glance to his left and followed his gaze. Dustin and Flurry were staring at him over the backs of their seats. Gino shoved his head into the headrest.
Ugh,
he said. Flurry's fingertips waved at him. Dustin's beady black eyes stared over the little towel on the headrest. Gino glanced over at Geordie.
What is happening? He asked very carefully. Is prank? I still have shaving cream left.
Geordie cleared his throat and glanced over at the other two again.
Well, we were just... he coughed. See, we all figured. I mean...
Dustin whapped him in the side of the head, and Geordie kicked the back of his seat. He scooted over, putting his back against the window of the plane, and stuck his jaw out. He glared at Dustin.
I'm getting to it, he said, and then looked back at Gino. Look, I'm just... Gino, we all know that Sid is... Sid, but you don't have to... I mean...
You can tell us the truth about the hickey thing, Flurry said, over Geordie's increasingly high voice.
I don't know what this morning was about, but...
When had it become Gino's job to interpret and explain Sydney's weirdness? Jesus.
They fuck in hallway, he said,
grinding his voice out between his teeth.
I see them by elevator. Team had to pay for damage to ficus.
Wait, the one in the hallway? Dustin asked. That was Sydney! With the girl?
Ew.
Geordie said, his nose scrunched. Gino nodded.
Is weird, he said. Even for Sydney.
Geordie's mouth opened, then closed, and then opened again.
But I thought...
Flurry stuck his palm over Geordie's entire face, and pushed his head into the plane window. "Never mind what we thought, Gino," he said, ducking Geordie's flailing arm. "I'm sure this is none of our business." He raised his eyebrows and let go of Geordie's face, wiping his hand off on Geordie's chest. Dustin leaned over his shoulder. "You seriously walked in on Sidney Crosby fucking a girl?" Dustin asked.
"Was Puck Bunny," Gino said. "Is no big deal."
"No, that's weird. That's... And you... I can't believe you walked into that," Flory said. He looked over his shoulder and back at Gino. "Look, Gino, I don't..." Gino raised his hands.
"I don't know," he said, cutting Flory off.
They were all three staring at him like he was... like he was supposed to have an answer, when he honestly didn't even know where to begin.
"I don't... no need to think about it now. I sleep, okay?"
He squeezed his eyes shut, only relaxing when he heard the sounds of them all settling back into their seats. He listened to the rumble of the engines and the guys chirping in the rows ahead of him until he finally fell asleep. It just never seemed to stop. Deadspin had gotten pictures of Sidney leaving the club, half out of his button-up shirt. And suddenly, every half-reputable news show was making nasty jokes about spoiled stars and play dates with Patrick Kane. For weeks, the minute Gino tried to forget the eye-searing image of Sidney having public sex, someone else in management popped up and asked him about it. Like he was supposed to keep track of Sidney's conquests. Not that he'd ever really heard of Sidney having conquests. And not that Sidney was talking to him anyway. Sidney had gone from the bus to the plane to his house without once looking back. Sitting back and laughing his false laugh in the face of every smug reporter, Gino stopped giving interviews. Gino pushed open the door with one hand, carrying his stick and helmet in the other. A clump of guys was stuffed into one end of the locker room, looming over Brooks's stall.
"Cheating on him?" Pascal said.
Tyler glanced over his shoulder, probably at the sound of the door, and Gino saw his face turn white. He slammed his hand into Pascal's shoulder, rocking him into Mark and Comrie. Gino rolled his eyes and stomped his way to his own stall.
"Who is cheating?" he asked,
sitting down to unlace his shoes. There was a short silence.
"Hi, Gino," Brooke said. "We're just talking about the new GTA.
Gino sighed. Right, and his mother was the Queen of Sheba. The guys shuffled amongst themselves, slowly breaking up to walk to their own stalls. Gino glanced over at Sydney's empty stall. He'd left him on the ice. Sydney had stopped really talking to him after the plane ride. 6 games. It was no big thing. Gino yanked hard on his knotted laces, setting his left leg out straight in front of himself. Nothing was anything. Sidney could have sex with whoever he wanted. And if he wanted groupies, then who was Gino to say he couldn't? Sidney had... he'd always had groupies. And if Sid had always treated them like actual fans before, then it still wasn't any of Gino's business. He towed out of his left skate and started work on his right. It didn't make any sense, though. Sidney signed autographs and posed for pictures. And then he took Gino out for steak to help him with his English. It was what they did. Or rather, it was what they used to did.
Do. Done.
Sidney had not spoken to him in a while. Maybe he'd finally remembered to be embarrassed that the story seemed to have gotten out. Gino would have been upset, if people knew his sex life. Sidney hated people knowing anything about him at all. His jacket pocket began to buzz, his cell rattling against the side of his stall. Gino leaned back to grab it, reaching over his head. He fished the cell out of his pocket and flipped the top open to match against his ear without looking at the caller ID.
"I have just heard the funniest story in the world, Ovi said in Russian. Oh, fuck. Gino sighed and pinched the bridge of his nose between two fingers.
What do you want? He asked.
To tell you a funny story, Ovi exclaimed, sounding like he was already half a bottle into whatever party he'd created. Sasha got off some hockey blog. It's about Sydney and some girl in a garden centre.
Gino gritted his teeth.
What?
No, really, Sydney. With a girl, Ovi said. And that's not the best part. See, there was this rhododendron.
Gino hung up. He made it through his upper padding and skates before his phone vibrated again, this time with a text.
Shit, it said.
Gino sighed and stood up. He shrugged out of his suspenders and took off his pants before untaping his socks from his thighs. He waded up the grimy tape into a ball and tossed it at the nearest wastebasket. His hockey socks sagged down to his knee guards, elastic long gone. He took extra care to remove his gear, unwrapping every piece and setting it aside, while around him the guys undressed and made plans for after practice. He let it flow over him, even the short, awkward silence that bloomed when Sydney walked past him to get to his own stall. And then the rising tension as the guys tried to make up for it. Fuck it all. His cell vibrated again. Gino stood up in his sweaty t-shirt and shorts, already pulling the shirt over his head. He smelled horrible, even to him. His legs ached. Sydney cleared his throat behind him. Gino paused. It was weird that he could recognize Sydney's cough. Gino glanced around, but it looked like he'd dragged out undressing enough that the room was almost empty. He turned around, tossing his shirt in his open gear bag. His cell stopped buzzing. Probably gone over to voicemail. Sydney was already dressed, of course, in jeans that were practically ironed, and a t-shirt that had an alligator on it. His hair was wet and plastered to his forehead. The tip of his long nose was red still, from the cold of the rink.
So, I was thinking, he said loudly. Do you want to pick up girls?
Girls, Gino was sure. Loved men who smelled like 1,000 sweat socks. Gino wouldn't know. Gino liked men. He liked them after they'd showered, though. He stepped into his jeans and buttoned the fly, glancing around the mostly empty room. This was a prank. It had to be. There was a hidden camera pointed right at his face. He caught Chris's startled eyes and glanced away. His phone vibrated on the bench. He turned back to Sydney, who was watching him, teeth caught on his lower lip. His nostrils flared as he breathed.
I mean, we could do it together, he said. The girls, I mean. We could pick up girls. Together. You could be my wingman.
Chris made a muffled noise from across the locker room, but Sydney didn't turn around. Gino grabbed his fresh t-shirt from off the hook in his stall and stuck his arms through the holes.
No, thank you,
Gino said, putting his head through the collar. His phone buzzed. He wanted to look down at it, but Sydney stepped forward into his space and Gino couldn't look away. Sydney's breath was coming too fast. Sydney's lips thinned. His eyes were showing white around the rims. He leaned forward.
But don't you... I mean, we should. You should come with me. We can get steak after.
Sydney was so weird. Gino didn't even know what to do. He sat down on his bench. And Sydney didn't step back, stuffing his hands in his pockets. Gino picked up his phone. It had stopped vibrating, but he opened it anyway. 2 missed calls and 2 voicemails from Ovi. 1 text from Sasha. He pressed OK, and the message popped up on the screen.
We will call your mother. I have date, Gino said.
And Sydney jerked like he'd been shocked.
I leave now.
He didn't wait for Sydney's reply, already punching Ovi's number on his speed dial, grabbed his gear bag, and left the locker room. Ovi let his first call go to voicemail. He picked up on the third ring of his second try,
just as Gino had made it out of the centre to his car. He threw his bag in the back seat and jammed the phone into his shoulder.
"Bullshit, you call my mother," he said in English.
"Gino," Ovi replied in Russian, "don't you believe in the power of motherly love?" Gino switched to Russian as well, just to make sure Ovi understood every word.
"I believe that if you tell my mother about Sydney's idea of good sex..."
"So the rhododendron was true," Ovi crowed.
"Oh, wait until I tell Sergei. He didn't believe me, even though we showed him the blog." "Who is we?"
Gino asked, sliding into the driver's seat.
"Sasha and I," Ovi said. "He likes all the blogs. I just like the pictures."
"I hate you,"
Gino said. "You mean you love me," Ovi said.
"Are you as bad in English as you are in Russian? No wonder Sydney is..."
Ovi broke off with a cough, and Gino could hear Sasha yelling at him through the phone. He had a few minutes then. Gino plugged the phone into the Bluetooth and fixed the headpiece into his ear. Clearly, Ovi had his speakerphone on.
"And it is not Gino's fault that he is dating a slut," Sasha was saying.
Ovi made a hurt noise.
"Not that there's anything wrong with being a slut," Sasha muttered.
"I am not dating anyone," Gino said,
talking over the sound of Ovi kissing Sasha. He pulled out onto Fifth Avenue and clicked his seatbelt closed one-handed. He squirmed in his seat as he drove towards the intersection.
"Stop it, both of you," he said.
Ovi grunted, but Sasha was actually a good person with horrible taste in men and said,
"Sorry, Gino, he's been worried."
"He's been gleeful," Gino said.
"Well, that too," Sasha said, "but mostly worried. You know, Ovi."
"I am still here," Ovi said.
"Yes, dear," Sasha said.
Gino snorted.
"Well," Ovi demanded, "are you going to tell us why you let Crosby off his chain or not?"
"I did not,"
Gino sighed, and turned right on red onto Grant.
"I do not have Sydney on a chain, Alex."
Sasha laughed. "Gino, you had him dancing to your tune before you could even speak his language." Gino squeezed his fingers around his steering wheel. How far away was DC anyway? He could make it in time to hit Sasha in the mouth and back again before the game with Edmonton.
"That is not true," he said instead. "Sydney is my friend. I didn't..."
He cleared his throat and slowed down. Spying the light turn red at the corner of 6th, the Toyota in front of him had a sticker of 3 stick figures in the back window, 2 children and a mother. Americans are very strange. Ovi and Sasha were very strange. Gino had nothing to do with anything about Sydney's sex life. He didn't. And no amount of stupid teammates and foolish internet blogs and ridiculous whatever Ovi was.
"Gino!" Ovi yelled. "Shout if you can still hear us."
"It is not my business,"
Gino shouted back at him, smacking his hand against the dashboard.
"Sydney is not my boyfriend, and he did not cheat on me. And it is not fair that he has sex with a girl where I can see, and then wants me to find girls with him, because it is not my fault that he...
He hit the dashboard again, loud enough that he was sure Ovi and Sasha could hear it, and hissed when his knuckles caught against the vent. He sucked air in through his mouth and pushed out again, blinking rapidly.
"Stupid fucking Sydney.
Stupid." There was a slight ringing in Gino's ears. Not like a concussion, but still loud enough to be noticeable. He swallowed and rubbed his tongue over his front teeth. It was nice that he still had them.
"You saw him having sex?" Ovi asked quietly.
"Oh, fuck you," Gino said.
The light turned green, and he pulled out into traffic.
"No," Ovi said. "I'm serious. He..."
"How?
Were you at the garden center with him?"
"What? There was no garden center. Why do I keep having to talk about this?" Gino asked. "What did your blog tell you?" was the part with the rope... You know what? I don't want to know, Sasha said. The point is, Sydney wants to look at girls with you.
No, the point is, I thought they were already dating, Ovi said.
Stop it, Sasha said. He's upset.
I'm not upset, Gino said.
So, he's a mess, Ovi said at the same time. Maybe I should get Sergei in on this call.
No,
Gino said, sitting up straighter. Don't call Sergei. I'm fine. Ovi's sigh sounded almost exactly like Gino's grandma. It was horrible. And Gino resisted the urge to drive his car off the road. It'd get on the news, and then Ovi might come to Pittsburgh for moral support.
Maybe we should come visit, Sasha said. There aren't enough Russians on your team.
Gino groaned. It took most of the ride home to get Sasha to promise not to let Ovi come to Pittsburgh and help, and another half hour to get Ovi to promise not to let Sasha come to Pittsburgh and speak to Sydney about his intentions. By the time Gino reached his condo, it was all he could do not to throw his phone into the nearest dumpster. He restrained himself with the thought of what his mother would say when she learned he'd ruined a perfectly good phone. One lecture on what she'd suffered under communism was enough. The elevator ride to his condo was blissfully quiet, and Gino let the cool metal of the carriage leach heat from his back. His chest felt sore, just a little, right over the breastbone. Gino rubbed his hand up and over his pectorals, hooking his fingers around his neck. When the elevator dinged and the doors opened, he stepped out onto his floor. Down the hall, he could see Sergei sitting outside his door. Gino sighed, loudly enough that Sergei looked up from his BlackBerry. He stood as Gino walked towards him and stuffed his phone into his back pocket.
Sergei, Gino said, you...
He pointed his finger at him.
Should be in Ottawa.
Gino, Sergei said, you need me to be here. Gino came to a halt in front of Sergei and stuffed his phone in his pockets.
Is that so? He asked.
Sergei put his hand to the back of Gino's head, pulled him forward and kissed him. Gino felt his shoulders slump. Sergei sighed as he pulled back and shook Gino's head lightly.
Come on, he said. Let me in your ugly apartment and let's get drunk.
Gino's skull felt cold when Sergei let go. He licked his lips and dug his keys out of his jacket pocket. Sergei leaned against the wall, whilst Gino unlocked the door to his place, lounging like he'd travelled 879 kilometres for no reason all the fucking time. Not that Gino had ever figured out how long that would take on Google Maps or anything. Instead, he flipped the hallway lights on and tossed his keys into the change bowl he kept on the table near the door.
Have you eaten? He asked over his shoulder.
Sergei shrugged.
I could, he said. Do you have anything? Leftovers mostly, Gino said. From the Chinese place on 4th.
Sergei followed him into the kitchen and sat at the wooden table, watching Gino grab greasy cartons out of the fridge and vodka from the freezer. Gino thunked the half-empty bottle on the table between them and circled the cartons around it. He crossed his arms and stuck his chin out.
Well, he prodded.
Sergei raised his eyebrows.
You still keep your plates in the same place?
He twisted in his chair, pulling open the drawer behind him and taking out two forks. Gino sighed and turned back around to his cupboard. He kept the plates close to the stove, just like his mother did back home, although he hadn't cooked anything more complicated than pancakes since he'd moved in. Sydney liked his pancakes. They were half the reason he kept inviting himself over to beat Gino at Lego Star Wars and stayed too late to go home. Sometimes, Gino thought, Sid missed living with Mario more than he let on. He pulled two plates from the cupboard and set them down on the table, pulling out his chair with his other hand. Sergei grabbed two glasses from the drying rack by the sink while his back was turned. He grabbed the bottle, pointed the neck in Gino's direction. Gino waved his hand and poured a carton of food towards himself.
He flicked the top open and sniffed. Pork chow mein. He smushed half it out onto the top plate and passed it to Sergei. Guests first, like his mother had taught him. Sergei smiled at him, twisting the cap off the vodka. He poured 2 inches in both glasses and set one in front of Gino, and then picked up his fork.
So, he asked.
Gino picked up his glass and took a drink. He licked his lips, closing his eyes briefly against the cold, searing rush of alcohol down his throat.
It's nothing, he said.
Sergei took a bite of noodles and nodded.
Okay, he said. Eat, though.
Gino opened the rest of the Chinese food cartons, dishing out the leftover broccoli with beef and honeyed duck. He speared a bite and popped it into his mouth, chewing automatically. He could feel his shoulders starting to tense, waiting for the inevitable stupid questions. Sergei was like an old woman sometimes, always treating Gino like he was a child. Sergei only grunted, however, when Gino started to eat, and upended the rest of the chow mein onto his plate. They ate quietly, and Sergei made sure Gino's glass was always filled. Although, that was wrong, because Sergei was in Gino's home, and not the other way around. Still, by the end of the meal, the vodka was warm in his stomach, and his lips were pleasantly greasy. Gino let himself slump a little against his table, one hand underneath his chin.
It's not fair,
Gino said, muffling his voice in with the heel of his palm.
Probably not, Sergei said, pouring him another drink.
Gino picked up his fork in his free hand and swirled patterns into the leftover grease on his plate.
I didn't want to see Sydney having sex with her.
Sergei swallowed a healthy amount of his own vodka.
Who does?
Gino blinked down at his plate and let his fork clatter to the table.
Nobody, he said, grimacing. But everybody makes me talk about it. Like I care, it's on blogs.
He picked up his glass and waved his arm out towards the back wall, sloshing his drink almost over the rim.
Like it's the best thing to ever happen in the world.
Xenia, Sergei sighed.
What?
Gino leaned forward, sticking out his chin. Sergei clapped him on the top of his head, digging his fingers through Gino's hair. Gino winced. Sergei looked him in the face, chewing on a corner of his mouth.
Don't spill your drink, Sergei said, letting go.
Gino sat back in his chair, breath hissing from his mouth. He eyed the remaining vodka in his glass, swaying the liquid from side to side.
I just want to forget about her. It, he said. The whole thing. I bet Sydney does too.
Oh? Sergei asked, quickly enough that Gino looked from his glass.
Did he say that? Of course not, Gino said. It's Sydney. He's insane. He walks around like he wanted the attention. He wore low-collared shirts until his stupid, ugly hickey disappeared.
Sergei blinked and pulled them both another finger of booze.
Sydney had a hickey. The blogs didn't mention that.
Gino upended his glass and took a large enough swallow to bring tears to his eyes.
She gave him one, apparently. Although, maybe because it was something to do.
What? Sergei asked. Gino slammed his glass down on the table. Sergei refilled it.
She was bored. She waved at me behind Sydney's back.
Sergei coughed into his hand, and then covered his mouth, eyebrows twitching. Gino glared at him. Sergei waggled his eyebrows even harder, until Gino had to look away. He eyed the cloth calendar one of the team wives had given him for Christmas, and fought to keep his mouth steady. Sergei chuckled, and Gino kicked him under the table.
Stop it, he said, turning back around giggling. It was traumatic.
Sergei nodded, grinning. I'm sure it was. But at least now we know Sydney's bad at something.
Sydney has always been bad with girls, Gino said. That's nothing new.
Remember the time that one girl asked him to sign her boobs and he started to hyperventilate? Gino laughed into his glass.
He made me get to my paper bag from the 7-Eleven.
Or what about when those twins in Montreal
tried to get him into a closet at the Park Hyatt.
Gino took a drink and wiped his mouth back of his hand, giggling.
I think he still might believe they just wanted help getting towels off the shelf.
So what makes this girl different? Sergei asked, watching him over the brim of his own glass. Gino licked his lips and felt a laugh evaporate in his throat.
I don't know, he said. Maybe she used little words. Sometimes it works for me.
Yeah, but you don't want to fuck Sydney in a hallway, Sergei said, looking at him steadily. Gino shrugged. He put a hand to his stomach and rubbed at a little ache above his navel.
Had Sydney wanted to fuck in the hallway, right where anyone could see, it was bound to have gotten out. He just couldn't picture Sydney saying yes to that. Not in public.
Sergei tapped the toes of his shoe against Gino's shin.
Zhenya, are you staying the night? Gino asked, standing up.
He braced himself on the table, blinking a little against the sudden head rush. He needed to start drinking more, if he was getting to be this much of a lightweight. He pushed off from the table and stepped out into the hall.
You can have the sofa, he said. I've got sheets somewhere.
Sergei followed him out of the kitchen and down into the living room. He stepped over to the sofa and sat down, leaning the bottle against the armrest. He looked over at Gino and raised his eyebrows.
Don't make me call Alex for a conference, he said. He's probably drunk enough now to think driving to your house is an excellent idea. Don't threaten me with people visiting, Gino said. You're not my mother.
Now, there's an idea, Sergei said, grinning. It wasn't a very nice grin. Too many teeth.
Now, sit down. I don't want to talk about this any more than you do. I was put on this earth to play hockey, not babysit.
Fucking hell. Why couldn't everyone just leave it alone? That's what he wanted to do. Bury the memories fucking deep and never resurfaced again. Then he could go out and watch Sydney get girls and... Gino swallowed.
No. He didn't really want to do that, even though they were friends.
Sergei waggled the vodka bottle in Gino's direction, tapping his fingers under the Grey Goose logo. Gino ground his teeth. Sergei clucked his tongue at him. Gino stomped around the back of the sofa and threw himself into the opposite corner, keeping the middle cushion empty between him and Sergei. Sergei passed him the vodka without even asking, and Gino drank from the bottle, swallowing, while Sergei turned on the TV to NHL Live. Gino let the bottle fall to his lap and leaned his head against the couch. On screen, Bob McKenzie was talking out of his ass about the Flyers. Sergei gestured for the bottle, and Gino let him take it, rolling his head against the back of the couch. They passed the vodka back and forth between them, while Sergei made fun of Kevin Allen, and Gino defended everything Olchik said. Gino pushed down the simmering, oily heat in his stomach, licking his teeth and swallowing heavily. Finally, when the bottle was dangerously low, he turned his head towards Sergei, letting the couch take its weight.
I'm stupid, he said quietly.
Sergei set the bottle between them, balanced carefully on the cushion.
Oh.
Gino nodded, rubbing his cheek against the zigzag pattern on his couch. He could feel his double catching the threads.
Yeah.
How so? Sergei asked. Gino closed his eyes and yawned. For once, he was going to let the alcohol make him sleepy.
I feel like I lost a game, or something. But I don't know why.
He felt Sergei reach over and palm the side of his head. But the couch was very comfortable, and suddenly Gino was very tired. Between one breath and the next, he let himself fall asleep. The next morning, Gino woke up with a small, furry dog in his mouth and a monkey pounding on his skull. He groaned and leaned forward, grimacing as his neck muscles screamed at him.
He was never falling asleep on the couch again, swear to God. He smacked both hands against his forehead, digging his palms into his eyes until red sparks shot across his eyelids. Aspirin. Aspirin was the only answer. Maybe some water. He heard someone, Sergei, walking down the hallway, grumbling to himself as he walked towards the door. Someone was knocking. Gino sighed. Well, at least that explained some of the pounding outside his head. He moved his left hand under his chin, put his right hand beneath his skull, and jerked hard, cracking his neck from side to side. There, that was better. Maybe eggs. His stomach sent a spike of pain up his throat, and Gino swallowed. Or maybe water. He hadn't even rehydrated after practice, had he? He was an idiot. The sound of the door opening was particularly loud this morning, but Sergei was remarkably quiet, hopefully because his own head was ready to split any second. Gino swayed to his feet. He remembered buying aspirin on his last trip to the store. It had to be somewhere. He walked around the back of the couch, sniffing his t-shirt and felt his lips curl. He smelled like old Chinese food. He pulled the shirt over his head and tossed over his shoulder, scratching his chest. He glanced down the hallway, yawning, and saw Sergei in his boxers standing in front of the open door. Sydney's face was floating over his shoulder.
"Oh my God," Sydney said and took a step back.
Gino blinked at him.
"What are you doing here?" he asked.
Sergei sighed so hard, Gino could see his shoulders move.
"Do you know? I never go through this in Ottawa," he asked the ceiling, in Russian. So it was probably meant for Gino, or possibly God. "They're good boys up there." Gino frowned. "What's that supposed to mean?" "Oh my God,"
Sydney said again, his eyes were very wide.
I thought Colby was joking when..."
Sydney clamped his mouth shut and shook his head. Gino squinted at him. It was very bright just then and early. He glanced at the clock. It had just turned 6. Why would Sydney come to his home so early? Sergei sighed again, but this time chose English.
"Sydney, come inside. I think Gino has eggs." "No, no. I wouldn't want to. I mean, I would be getting in the way, and I..."
"Sydney," Sergei said, moving forward.
"I think you need to hold on a minute."
His left arm came up, but Sydney was already backing away, babbling about good times and borders and things making sense now, when that was clearly untrue. Maybe Gino wasn't hungover. Maybe he was still drunk. He made his feet walk forward, picking up speed, as Sydney started to disappear from his threshold, and found himself at Sergei's shoulder, just in time to see Sydney burst through the doors to the stairs, rather than take the elevator. He dropped his head to Sergei's shoulder.
"What the hell is going on?" he asked.
"I should have brought my own liquor," Sergei said. Not surprisingly, it turned out that Gino had no eggs. He didn't have any coffee either, or cereal that wasn't slightly dusty. So after Sergei forced him to shower and drink an entire sports bottle of water with 4 aspirin, they went out to Squirrel Hill, to the diner Sergei had missed the most in Canada. Sergei picked up a blini in one hand and spread currant jam on top of it, with quick passes of the knife in his other hand. Gino leaned back in his chair and breathed in the steam wafting up from his mug. The coffee was so thick, he could see it sticking to the sides of his mug like jelly.
"Ottawa is too warm to have good food," Sergei said around a mouthful of blini. "What do you call Pittsburgh, then?"
Gino asked, putting down his mug.
"Lucky."
Gino laughed and almost didn't make his head hurt. He put both elbows on the table and rubbed his thumb in a little leftover butter on the plate, with all the blinis. He licked his thumb clean, grinning, and Sergei rolled his eyes.
"Do you do that to all your teammates?" he asked.
Gino let his thumb pop out of his mouth.
"Do what?" "Suck on your fingers," Sergei said. "I don't even like guys, and I'm a little flustered. No wonder we used to find Sydney staring off into space so much after team dinners."
Gino opened his mouth and then closed it, frowning. Sergei finished his blini and began constructing another one, this time with butter and blackberry jam from the little tray.
I think it must be your lips, Sergei said, wiping the corners of his mouth with the back of his hand. They're puffy.
Puffy,
Gino repeated.
Sergei nodded. Yeah, he said. They look good on a girl. Kind of like an ugly Angelina Jolie.
Gino grabbed a blini from the plate and ripped a bite out of it. Crumbs fell onto the table.
Very ugly, Sergei said. I don't know what anyone is talking about anymore, Gino said, swallowing.
Sergei grasped the rim of his glass of tea and took a sip, obscuring his face. Gino sighed.
All right, Sergei said. Still hungry?
Gino rolled his eyes.
No, Grandma. Thank you.
Shut it, Sergei said, putting down his tea. I'm down here on my own time, you know.
Well, I didn't ask you to come,
Gino said, leaning forward over the table. He tossed his half-eaten blini onto his plate.
That's because you're stupid, Sergei said. Get you out of Russia and suddenly you're a big man.
I know. I was stupid like you when I first got here. Of course, now I have a hot new boyfriend, so maybe I'm having a midlife crisis.
Gino felt his mouth drop open and shut it with a snap.
He bent his head, looking out to the mostly empty diner, then back again.
You have a boyfriend, he whispered harshly. When did that happen?
This morning, Sergei said. If Sydney wasn't so paranoid, I'd be worried that Kovalev would be challenging me over your honour.
I...
Gino leaned back in his chair, swallowing.
We were not that drunk.
No, Sergei said, nodding. But Sydney is Sydney.
I... Well, yes, but... Is that why he left?
Look who's joined the party, Sergei said.
Gino blinked rapidly.
That's not fair,
he said, trying to keep his voice down. The waitress was starting to stare.
Sydney doesn't even know that I like men. He wouldn't think that.
Sergei groaned and rubbed his forehead with the back of his wrist.
Look, Xenia, this clueless thing is cute. I get it. It's worked out pretty well for you so far, but...
Sergei raised a finger and tapped Gino's chest.
You're not getting any younger, kid.
Gino felt his mouth start to pinch. He swallowed against a suddenly dry throat and picked up his coffee mug. Outside the diner window, people were starting to come out onto the street.
I don't know what you mean, he said.
Sure you do, Sergei said.
Remember when you knew 6 words of English and 2 of them were, look, Sydney?
Gino shook his head quickly. His foot began to tap underneath the table. He glanced over at Sergei and looked down at the table. His stomach turned over.
Sydney likes girls, he said.
Maybe, Sergei said. Either way, it's time to grow up.
Gino shrugged, taking a sip from his mug. Sergei cleared his throat, jaw working like he was about to spit. He sat back in his chair, and his feet clicked against Gino's shins, until they settled outside Gino's legs.
All right, he said. Let's try something new.
How did the story about Sydney and the garden center get out?
It wasn't a garden center, Gino muttered.
Fine. Maybe it went to Office Max. That's not the point, Xenia.
Gino shrugged.
Then what is?
Do you remember the last time a story about Sydney and a puck bunny came out?
Sydney doesn't fuck groupies,
Gino said automatically. He glared at Sergei.
That's why this is so weird.
No, Sergei said. Sydney has had one-night stands before. The story's just never made it past the bedroom door. Sydney chose nice girls. Ones who want just to have fun, not brag to their friends. Some of them even wore glasses.
Gino shook his head. Sydney didn't go out. He never mentioned any type of girl. Never left Gino stranded at a club, no way back home. They went places together, and they laughed together. Sydney was the one who took foolish, handsy drunks back to their home and never mentioned it the next day.
Yes, Sergei said, nodding his head. So what makes this one different? Why is it happening now?
Use your head for something other than stopping a puck. Oh, that you can talk.
Sergei raised his eyebrows, swirling his tea in his glass.
Well? I don't want to think about it, Gino said. It has nothing to do with growing up.
Sergei waited, eyeing him over the rim of his glass.
It means Sidney knows, Gino said quietly. It means he knows I think about his body sometimes. And if Sidney can see it, then that means everyone else knows about it. Which makes Flurry make a lot more sense, and he swallowed. He was going to be sick. Fucking Sergei.
Sergei leaned forward across the table, eyes wide. And, he prompted.
And he wants to make sure everyone else knows he isn't like that, Gino snapped. Happy now?
Sergei thunked his glass onto the table. For fuck's sake, Zhenya! Gino spread his arms out into the air.
Well, what else am I supposed to think? Where else would he go and do that? Like he wasn't worth more than that.
Sergei raked his nails over his head, drawing thin red lines across his scalp.
What am I supposed to do with this? He muttered. Go to hell, all right. Gino said, seriously, what is this bull?
Gino's cell went off in his pocket, 6 seconds before Sergei's began to ring. Gino fished out of his jeans, still glaring, and flipped it open one-handed. Sergei rolled his eyes.
What?
Why is Sidney calling me to ask me how to say, I am very happy for you, in Russian?
Kovi, Gino asked. Why? What?
Why is Sidney Crosby calling me on my day off to ask how to say, I am very happy for you, in Russian? Kovi said, voice tightly leashed. Gino, what have you done?
Nothing,
Gino said, watching Sergei finally pick up his phone from the table and put it to his ear. Sergei looked out the window.
Ovi, what do you want?
Loud, angry chittering burst out from his phone, fast enough for Sergei's head to jerk back.
What? No, I...
Clearly, you have done something, Kovi said, and Gino heard the warning rumble in his voice. Sidney did not sound happy about learning that phrase.
Ugh,
Gino said. He tried to form actual words, but Sergei's head was rapidly becoming the colour of borscht, and it was distracting.
What do you mean, debauched? Sergei yelled. How'd you even know that word?
A waitress fumbled her tray to the floor and stared. Gino grinned widely and shrugged in her direction, while she picked up her tray and retreated to the bar. Sergei held the phone away from his ear, and even from a foot away, Gino could hear Ovi's hysterics. In his own ear, Kovi was very obviously practicing the calming breaths Dan made them take between shifts. So everyone made it off the ice with all the limbs they came on to the ice with originally. Where are you? Kovi asked. Possible answers to that question suddenly crowded behind Gino's teeth, all racing to get out first. He was in Alaska, or a train going through a tunnel and losing Kovi's signal. He was quitting hockey and moving back home with his mother. Kovi had the wrong number.
In a restaurant having breakfast with Sergei, he said.
Kovi made a high-pitched whistling sound, and Gino hung up.
Kovi is angry, Gino said. Can I come live with you?
Sergei glared at him. According to Ovi, we're already married. Gino considered this.
What does Sasha say?
Nothing, Sergei said. He was too busy calling your mother. Gino grit his teeth and ignored the steady vibration of his phone against the plastic cup holder in Sergei's rental. A screw tightened in the back of his head until he thought he could see little red flashes at the corners of his eyes. He looked up at his apartment building through the windshield. Blue sky and white clouds. Not bad weather for the last day of his life.
You should get that, Sergei said. You should turn yours on.
Sergei nodded, squeezing his fingers around the steering wheel.
We should go in. You first.
Sergei nodded again. Little wisps of his hair floated in the breeze he created.
Kovi still know where you live?
Gino nodded, and the screw tightened again. He licked his bottom lip.
Yeah,
he said.
He listened to the rush of traffic behind them and the sound of a car pulling into the lot. Really, he should have expected this the moment Ovi had called him yesterday. Had it really only been yesterday?
Okay, Sergei said. So, you've ended my life. And in return, all I got was a passable breakfast and a hangover.
Gina nodded.
You forgot the Chinese food, he muttered.
Oh, yes, thank you, Sergei said, backing him in the arm. Let's not forget your wonderful array of leftovers. The point is, I'm probably going to have to go into witness protection now, and it's all your fault.
Gina smacked him right back and turned in his seat, putting his back to the window.
I didn't ask you to come, you know.
Sergei tossed his arms in the air.
What else am I supposed to do?
You're fucking up your life. Gino smacked him again. It felt good. The little red flashes in his sight pulsed a bit faster.
My life was just fine. Please.
Sergei snorted.
You spend half your bench time watching Sid's ass on the ice. And the other half not noticing. Son of a bitch.
Something thumped hard against the window behind Gino, and he twisted around. Ovi glared at him, with his wide forehead pressed against the other side of the glass, and his arm raised to the sky.
Stasha! He yelled. Come quick! I think I caught them necking!
All right, Sasha said, sitting down on the coffee table. I wasn't really calling your mother. Gino slumped back against his sofa, and exhaled in a rush.
He was buying tickets!
Ovi called out from Gina's bedroom. We were at Regan already.
It's pretty cheap if you use Kayak, Sasha said. I don't care, Kirby said. We can check coupons later. Right now, I want to hear about Sergei and Zhenya's secret love for each other.
Sergei rolled his eyes and crossed his arms over his chest. He sunk back into a recliner next to the sofa and spread his legs over the carpet.
There is no such thing, he said.
Gino caught movement in the corner of his eye and looked over to find Ovi in the doorway to his bedroom.
The bed has been slept in, Ovi said, narrowing his eyes at Sergei. And I found these on the floor.
He waved a pair of blue striped boxes that Gino had never seen before in the air. Kobe made a grumbling noise deep in the back of his throat. Gino winced. He wore boxer briefs. He wished less people in this room knew that.
Wait.
Gino squinted, then jerked his head in Sergei's direction.
You're wearing my underwear, he asked.
Oh, it's worse than we thought,
Sasha said, burying his face in his hands.
I forgot to pack a bag, Sergei said. It's not like I'm keeping them.
You can keep them, Gino said, raising his hands. I need an aspirin.
Sasha raised his head.
Roofies? He asked hopefully.
Shut up, Sasha,
Sergei said, and kicked the coffee table.
Don't you tell him to shut up, Ovi said, throwing Sergei's boxes onto Gino's sofa. You've just spoiled Zhenya.
Where do you keep learning these words? You don't read, Sergei said, sitting up.
I could read, Ovi said, putting his hands on his hips.
He falls asleep listening to Masterpiece Theatre, Sasha said. Sergei nodded, as if anything that had happened in the last 24 hours had made any kind of sense. He waved his hand in Gino's direction.
Anyway, I slept in his bed.
Kovi raised his eyebrows and leaned over the back of Sergei's chair.
Alone,
Sergei said, flipping Kovi off. Kovi shook his head and rubbed a hand over the thick bristles of his blonde hair.
Gino, he said, ignoring Sergei. His eyes narrowed. You can't cheat on Sydney just because he cheated on you first. There's no way to heal your relationship.
Ovi humphed. Kovi shrugged.
Oprah, he said.
Gino's throat closed. He didn't know whether to scream or punch everyone in the room. Why couldn't they all just leave him alone? He was 24, not 16. And he wasn't in a relationship. He didn't even Gino blinked. He dropped his head and looked down at his sneakers, crossing his hands over his chest.
Oh no. No, he didn't. He couldn't.
His stomach sunk against his backbone, gurgling.
I am not in a relationship, he said,
pressing his fists underneath his arms.
Don't be stupid, Kobe said, mouth thinning disapprovingly. Of course you are. You're really bad at hiding it, too.
Gino lurched to his feet and shook his hands in the air.
No, I am not, he said. I am not in a relationship. I've never cheated on Sydney. There is nothing to cheat on.
Gino, you once referred to Sydney's house as our place. In front of God and the coaching staff, Kobe said. Sasha nodded. And remember what happened that time Ballard hip-checked you into the boards?
Sydney.
Gino pressed his lips together and shook his head. He rubbed the nape of his neck, trying to press out the ache.
So, Sydney is handsome, he said.
Kobe waffled his hands in the air.
Fuck you,
Gino said, coming around the coffee table.
Sydney is handsome. Sydney is. I have never once even touched him and Sydney.
He glared at Kobe.
Who I am supposed not to hurt is out proving how very heterosexual he is by sleeping with women where anyone can see.
Kobe breathed out through his nose and shrugged.
I know Sydney,
Gino said. He pressed his hand to his chest.
I know him. He finally noticed me staring at his ass, or some idiot mentioned it to him. And he decided to do something about it. You want me to be grown up, Sergey? Fine. I'm all grown up. I will face all the facts you want.
Why did he keep having to raise his voice around a group of people he wasn't related to? He wasn't a child. For all they were all treating him like one. Gino stood his ground, crossing his arms in front of his chest. He stuck his chin out and bit the tip of his tongue between his front teeth. Chris told me Sydney asked you out to pick up girls, Kobe said, raising an eyebrow. Gino groaned. Kinky, Obi said, scratching beneath a thatch of hair behind his right ear. Shut up, Alex, Sasha said. He looked back and forth between Gino and Kobe. Is this true? Gino shrugged.
It's Sydney. He doesn't even like going to the bathroom by himself.
Shut up, Obi, Sergey said. Obi closed his mouth, rolling his eyes. Sergey scooted forward in his chair. He clapped his hands together and sighed.
All we're saying, Zhenya, is that for a man who isn't in a relationship,
you get taken out for a lot of steak dinners. Gino frowned.
How did you know about that?
ESPN knows about that, Obi said. Why do you think we thought you were married?
Dating, Kobe said.
We thought they were dating. Sydney's not the type to get married without inviting the team.
Oh, and I am? Gino asked.
Kobe shrugged. You're a little more impulsive. Brooks thought someday he'd get a call from Vegas. Gino rubbed his forehead and squeezed his eyes shut. His headache battered against his temples.
Oh,
Ovi asked. What else does Brooks talk about? There was a sound, like someone possibly throwing themselves at Ovi, and someone else blocking that person's aim. Gino didn't care. When his eyes were closed, it was almost like he wasn't surrounded by lunatics and Sergey. Just because you're boring and married doesn't mean everyone else has to be, Kobe said, with a little breathless hitch. I happen to like women.
Women, Brooks, Obi said.
I'm sure they all scream your name. Gino's eyes popped open before that mental picture could take hold. He found himself staring at Sergey, still sitting in the recliner. Sergey leaned forward, putting his elbows on his knees, and rested his chin on his hands. He raised his eyebrows, and Gino felt the waves of his headache subside. He took a deep breath, and Sergey nodded, standing up. Sasha immediately wiggled out from under Kobe on the sofa and stepped into Gino's line of sight. Stop gazing at each other soulfully, he said. I can only solve one problem at a time. Sergey smacked him upside the head.
Thank you, Saroja, Gino said.
You aren't helping, Sergey said. Now, that is enough arguing and disgusting innuendo. I have a plane to catch, and we aren't solving Jenya's problems by bickering. No, we sent you, and you seduced him, Obi said, leaning against the back of the couch.
You were never funny, Sergey said. Anyway, like I said, I have a plane to catch and games to win, so I'll make this short.
Zhenya, Sydney is an idiot. He's a weird freak of nature who doesn't understand how people work. Sort of like Ovi, but with more self-control. In the corner of his eye, Gino saw Ovi open his mouth and close it. Shrugging, Sasha sat back down on the couch, his head next to Ovi's hands.
I know that, Gino said.
And you love him, Sergei said, raising his voice over Gino's. You have loved him for about as long as I have known you. You mark your days, the number of times you see him smile. It's sickening, but as your friend, I can't let you delude yourself any longer, so listen very, very carefully to me. He stepped forward, and Gino stepped back. He shook his head and bit down on the corner of his mouth.
The only people deluded in this house are the four of you, he said. I'm not.
You make Sidney Crosby human, Sergei said. I once caught him googling Magnitogorsk because he thought the Soviets must have done something to the training program there to produce you. He spends money on your entertainment. He recognizes that there are things outside of hockey that make you happy. He did a very, very stupid thing, a mean thing. And then he did an even stupider thing, trying to make you go along with it. You need to talk to him, Janya, so you go and do it. Sergei stopped speaking and crossed his arms.
I would know if he loved me,
Gino said, as white noise buzzed in his ears. If he loved him back, Gino realized, as his throat tightened, Jesus, if Sidney loved him back,
I would feel it.
Gino saw Ovi slide his hand down to rest against Sasha's collarbones, head lowered. Sasha patted his wrist. Ovi had slept with everyone, Gino remembered, until Sasha had realized that Ovi had only really wanted to sleep with him. They were as out as two hockey players could be.
He will say no, Gino said quietly.
Then come back here and we will help you move on, Kobe said. Ovi brought his gold card. We'll buy all the vodka in Pennsylvania. The sun was shining, and there was a light breeze, making the trees lying in the road sway gently. It was going to be such a horrible day. Gino unrolled his window and punched in the gate security code to Sydney's neighbourhood. He waved to Carl in the gatehouse as he drove past, and turned right on Absher towards Sydney's house. Sydney lived about as far back from the main entrance you could possibly get, and still be inside the walls. It kept photographers out, he always said, when the team teased him about it. Gino just thought he liked it because it let Sidney decide how much of the world he could deal with at a time. Not that Carl was a particularly vigilant security guard, but still. It kept Sidney from coming into practice with that tick in his left eye that said, "People have tried to interact with me today, and I need to hit something." He could totally do this. An apartment full of overly invested Russian men believed in him. It was only a matter of going up to Sidney and saying something. Something good. Something like what Sergei would say. Or maybe Sasha. But definitely not Ovi. Maybe something about his hair. It was good hair. Thick and curly. And he'd always wanted to know how it would feel against his fingers. Against his mouth. And then there was Sidney's skin. Gino coughed, shifting in his seat. No, maybe not. He was only doing this to make everyone stop talking at him. Sidney would answer one of two ways. He would smile and evade, and not let Gino finish until they stopped talking and Gino left. Or he would yell and whine and not let Gino finish until they stopped talking and Gino left. Either way, he was getting very, very drunk tonight. His stomach curled into a knot, almost heavy like lead beneath his skin. Gino tightened his grip on his steering wheel. Sergei was right. It was time to grow up and move on. His cell phone vibrated on the passenger side seat. Gino glanced at the lit face while he took the corner on Alteto Drive. Sergei's picture beamed at him from his cell phone. He sighed and reached over to answer it.
You will never let me go, will you? He said.
Quiet! I have no time! Ovi whispered. Sasha thinks I'm just in the bathroom!
Gino felt his eyebrow draw together. Ovi, where are you?
I'm in the bathroom, but the point is that I've got my phone.
That is Sergei's number,
Gino pointed out, driving one-handed. It is whatever, Ovi said. I just wanted to let you know that I'm absolutely going to help you with this. I want Sasha. I can do anything. I know just what to say.
Sydney hates you, Gino said. And Sasha started dating you because you drunk-dialed him every night for a month.
That's love.
That's Stockholm Syndrome.
Whatever, Ovi said again. The point is, I will tell you what you need to say. Now, how many times have you seen him naked?
Gino choked. I haven't.
Sure you have, Ovi said. You share a changing room.
You think I'm stupid enough to have looked?
Why not? I would have.
We are not all born shameless, Gino said.
Ovi barked a laugh and then immediately shushed himself. Shut up, he said. Do you want my help or not?
No, Gino said. I remember the last time you helped me.
Yes, but I'm not trying to sleep with you now, Ovi said.
Gino sighed. I don't want to talk about this.
Are you worried about that? Some guys are weird about exes. We don't have to tell him.
Oh, I wasn't planning on telling anyone, Gino said, slowing down for a left turn.
Hey, Ovi said.
Gino bit his bottom lip.
Sorry, he said.
Ovi grunted. Whatever.
No, I'm sorry,
Gino said, sitting up high in his seat.
I didn't mean it like that, I...
He trailed off.
It's okay, Ovi said. We had a nice week together. It's not your fault you aren't Sasha.
Thanks so much, Gino said, lips quirking upwards.
Ovi laughed, a deep, rolling sound, and Gino found himself grinning at the sound. Ovi was... Gino had just never quite got him out of his system.
So, what will you tell him? Ovi asked, chuckling.
All at once, Gino felt his grin slip from his face. He looked out his windshield. Ahead of him, he could just see Sydney's mailbox and the beginning of his drive.
Tell him you love him, Ovi said, breaking the silence, and then keep telling him until he believes it. It worked for me.
Gino paused.
Or until he gets tired of saying no.
If he doesn't love you, he'll never get tired of saying it, Ovi said. Don't worry, Sasha likes you. I bet you could stay with us if I say it right.
That, what the hell? It was kind of nice to hear that. Gino breathed in through his nose. Furious, staccato knocking erupted over the phone line.
Gotta go, Ovi said. Are you there yet?
Yeah, Gino said, putting the car in park.
Then go... Something loud banged in Gino's ear. Covey! Ovi shouted. You are paying for Gino's door.
There was a gurgling sound and a yell, and then the phone went dead. Gino flipped it closed and tossed it into a cup holder in between the seats. He stared across Sydney's lawn at Sydney's front door. All the blinds were down, but Sydney's car was parked in front of the garage.
Well, all right then. Time to be stupid. Like Ovi.
The walk up to Sydney's door felt like learning how to skate all over again. Gino stepped carefully, keeping off the grass, conscious of the tense stiffness in his legs, and his arms spread slightly for balance. A weight pressed down against his chest like a slab of iron. Why couldn't this wait? The off-season wasn't that far away. He could deal with being ignored. It wasn't so bad to have Sydney look through him in the locker room. Walked past him like Gino was nothing while all the guys looked on. Gino stopped, one foot perched on the step up to Sydney's door. No, he needed to stop doing that. It was horrible to be ignored by Sydney, thrown out like a toy that didn't work anymore. But Sydney would say no today, and maybe that would feel worse because then Gino would know. He'd have to get out of Pittsburgh. Probably, because he'd made Sydney talk about his feelings, and Sydney would have him traded. He'd have to go live with Ovi and Sasha, and listen to them have sex. Oh God, who knew Ovi got up to with a man crazy enough to move in with him? Gino lunged forward and knocked on Sydney's door, pounding his fist on the wood just beneath the ornamental brass door knocker. He took a deep, even breath, trying to remember what worked for Kobe. He dropped his hand to his side and waited. For a long stretch, there was nothing, just the increasingly loud sound of his own breath dragging in and out of his mouth. Then he heard a scuffling from behind the door, like someone leaning on it to squint through the peephole. Sydney always did that, even though it had been painted over 6 months ago.
Gino wrapped his hand around the back of his neck. The door opened. Anthony stood on the other side of it. Every thought in Gino's head, every half-formed plan, imploded in the back of Gino's mind, filling his ears with white noise. Sidney had cut his hair some time between yesterday and today, and shorn it close, leaving a dense, flat, black pelt to cover his head, the spiky fan of bangs drifting off to the right of his forehead. He had on a t-shirt with a picture of a cruise ship with shark's teeth riding a wave on it, and green sweatpants with holes in both knees. His feet were bare, long toes flexing on the wood panelling of his floor. Gino opened his mouth and forgot the English language. Sidney stared at him, white-faced. His lips were firmly pressed between his teeth. His left arm hung at his side, while his right disappeared behind the half-open door. Sidney's face twitched, his left hand clenched into a fist.
Ya ochin za tebya rada, he said.
His pronunciation was terrible, the N was too loud, and his emphasis was on the wrong part of the words altogether, but...
Oh, Gino loved him just then. He loved him like he just scored 10 hat-tricks all in a row, with an assist to cap them off. He loved Sidney like he must have always loved him, because this wasn't a new feeling, now that he considered it. This feeling was an old friend, like something precious Gino had carried with him all this time. Like a man on his anniversary might feel after 30 years and 1,000 steak dinners. Sidney's mouth twisted, lips reddening beneath his teeth, his heavy eyebrows pulled down over his eyes. Gino, he asked, did... I thought I said it just like Kobe told me. Gino blinked and shook his head.
Stupid, he said, like Ovi.
He lunged forward over the threshold and into Sidney's house, and Sidney backpedaled until his ass hit the small table in his entryway. Gino crowded him against it, not touching because he could see Sid was startled, and a startled Sid was a Sid in the mood for a slap fight. Gino raised his arms preventatively in between them.
Why girl? He asked. Why fuck her where I can see?
You weren't supposed to see, Sidney said, trying to flinch away. His eyes flickered down Gino's body and up to his face in a nervous, twitching loop.
It wasn't supposed to be you. I thought you'd be down at the bar for hours and... No, Sidney, Gino said,
touching his fingers to Sidney's chest. He felt adrenaline shaking his bones. His left foot began to tap on the floor.
Why, the girl at all?
Sid stopped breathing. Gino could feel it. His raw, boned face drained of colour, mouth falling open just enough to see the bottoms of his front teeth.
Step back. Step back. Sidney whispered, I can't do it like this.
Gino pushed off from Sid's chest, moving away far enough that Sid could slide out and around him. He dropped his hands to his sides, watching Sid carefully shut his front door. He waited while Sid locked it in order. Door lock, door chain, and then deadbolt. Finally, Sidney turned back around, hands behind his back. He stared at Gino.
Do you... How come... Can I get you something to drink? Sid asked finally.
Sid was very brave, Gino knew, because he approached everything like it was a fight to be won and prepared for it all. But when he didn't know what to do, he fell back on the routines that made him feel safe. He'd watched him charge an entire defensive line once, and then stumbled on Sid hiding in the bathroom, calling his sister to have her explain a locker room joke.
I would like water, please, Gino said,
and stepped back to let Sidney lead him into his kitchen. The curtains in Sidney's kitchen window were open to the backyard, with sunlight pouring down into the stainless steel sink. Gino sat down at the kitchen table and watched Sidney putter around his kitchen. He didn't once look over at him, but Gino was used to that. Sidney went from cupboard to sink, and then turned to him, with a glass extended over the tabletop. Gino took it from him, careful not to let their fingers touch. He took a sip, watching Sidney watch him drink.
Thank you, Gino said, licking his bottom lip.
No problem, Sidney said. He pulled out the chair across from Gino and sat down slowly. He put both hands on the table, fingers laced together. How's Sergei?
Ugh, Gino said, and put down his glass. Fine. Ready to go home.
God, why hadn't he learned more English before coming over here? Or at least brought... No. Actually, it was probably better that he hadn't brought anyone with him to interpret.
Do you...
Sidney looked down at his hands and then back up again. I'm sorry. You asked me a question. He cleared his throat.
I didn't mean to embarrass you.
I should have taken her back to my room. But she was really hot and I haven't really had a chance to get, Gino turned his water glass around and around in his hands, listening as Sidney's voice trailed off.
Is your meet the press voice, he said. I am reporter now.
No, Sidney said, suddenly fierce, and then bit his lip. I'm sorry, he said. I had a plan, but next time I'll be better. Sidney's interlaced hands were shaking, his knuckles turning white with strain. Gino inhaled slowly and exhaled his nerves, until all he felt was a dim recognition of his twitching stomach. He pictured himself half off the bench, one leg already slung over the side of the wall. Sidney's left thumbnail sliced across his opposite, and Gino pushed off onto the ice. He looked up and met Sidney's eyes. Very slowly, Gino stretched out his hands across the table and wrapped them around Sidney's, rubbing his fingertips into the soft skin at Sidney's wrist. Sidney shuddered.
You tell me plan, Gino said. I tell you why you suck.
Sidney's hands broke apart, twisting his palms upwards until his thumbs were burrowing into Gino's pulse points. He laughed, ducking his head, but he didn't loosen his grip. Gino resigned himself to a bit of a sore back later and rested his weight on his elbows.
So, Gino said, you sex with girl in hallway, but you don't want me to see it. No, you have sex with girl.
Sidney nodded.
And this was plan. Because this is a plan like Ovi make.
Gino blinked. Oh, God. Oh, God. It really was a plan like Ovi would make. Did Sergei have to be right about everything? Sidney glared. It was better than that, he said. Gino raised his eyebrows.
Really?
Yes, Sidney said. I was going to have a very public fling and confirm that I like girls. Gino flinched and began to pull away, but Sidney frowned, tightening his grip. His breathing picked up as he spoke, like touching him had shaken Sidney enough to let everything else come tumbling out into the air. Gino was suddenly really glad he spent so much time around Sidney. He was used to cherry-picking words from the stream. And then I was going to ask you out on a date, so we could be on the down low together. But then you had a date already, and Colby told me all the Russians had sex with each other, and I didn't believe him because you never... I mean, you never even looked at Covey once, and I was watching you. I watch you all the time. I love... I mean, I really like the way you skate, and you're so... You're so much that I have to keep my eye on you because you'll change. And then I won't be able to keep up, off the ice, only I cannot believe you're actually fucking Sergei. And I didn't know about it. Why didn't you tell me? Sidney broke off, glaring, even as he sucked in a deep breath. Gino blinked. Where the hell did he even begin?
All the Russians don't have sex with each other, he said.
Sidney pursed his lips and raised an eyebrow, his nose wrinkled. I roomed next to Ovechkin at the All-Star game, he said. Gino paused.
All right. Maybe many Russians sleep with Ovechkin.
Sidney's voice spiked. Have you slept with Ovechkin?
I am not sleeping with Sergei.
Gino yelled as a deflection.
What? Oh, really?
Sidney's hands clenched over Gino's wrists. But you... He was in your underwear.
He kind of disgusting, Gino said,
blinking away the sudden vision of Ovi waving Sergei's boxes in the air.
I sleep on couch.
You slept on the couch, Sidney said. Tension wrinkles in his hairline suddenly disappeared, and Sidney's spine unbent a millimetre.
You promise?
Gino nodded.
Sergei is like a brother, he said. A mean old brother. I never want to do anything to him.
An actual smile spread across Sidney's face, and Gino rolled his eyes to keep from grinning back. He ignored the way his heart maybe thumped a bit fast at the sight, and pressed on.
Sidney, Gino said. I not fuck Sergei, but you definitely fuck girl. In hallway.
Really, he was not getting over that any time soon. Sidney glanced down at their hand, swallowing.
I told you why, he said. I know what fling is, Gino said slowly, but not down low.
Sidney licked his lips and rolled his head back and forth on his shoulders. Shit, he said. He pulled at his hands until Gino let him go, and then tucked them under his arm. He clicked his teeth together. Gino leaned back in his chair. He picked up his drink and sipped his water. Sidney's eyes seemed to catch above level with his throat.
It means I could...
Sidney cleared his throat. There was a huskiness to his voice now that wouldn't seem to go away.
We could. I thought maybe you liked me, and Colby said I talked more about you than he did about his wife. Even I know what that means, so I thought we could be together. Except we're hockey players, no one can know. So, no, I'm sorry, I'm babbling again. Down low is what you are when you're doing something no one else can know about.
Sidney's arms flexed across his chest, stretching out his old t-shirt. Gino found himself following the path of loose threads at the seam at Sidney's right shoulder. He licked his lips and sat up a little straighter.
Right. Okay. Right. This. Right now.
Gino set his drink down.
Sidney, he said. I need you to listen closely, okay? Pay attention.
Sidney nodded. He put his elbows on the table and leaned forward, catching his full bottom lip between his teeth. Gino swallowed. Okay. Clearly.
Clearly, this is going to be a yes.
He was an idiot, and Sergei was always right, and fuck it. Even fucking Ovi had been right. And now Gino was going to have to be the one to be right from now on. Because once he left this house, then no one was ever going to let them live the past few weeks down for the rest of their miserable lives.
You are an idiot, Gino said.
Sidney started in his chair and almost leaned back, but Gino grabbed for him and caught the edge of his sleeve. He gripped the worn cotton tightly and shook Sidney's arm.
It's okay, Gino said. I am, too. But you do horrible things, and I just act like teenager, so now I have final say in relationship.
Sidney frowned. The hell you relationship? Gino nodded.
Yes. We are not safe to be out alone. Entire team thinks we are married anyway.
No, they don't. Sidney said.
Yes, they do, Gino said. Geordie think you cheat on me. Flurry offered me self-help book.
I would never, Sidney said, grabbing his right hand around Gino's outstretched wrist. He leaned forward, biting his lip again. His Sidney, always believing what he said, exactly as he said it. Gino felt his stomach twist just a little.
Kind of did. I...
Sidney shook his head.
No more horrible things, Sidney, Gino said. Never again.
Suddenly, he could see Sidney, exactly as he had been, with his back to the elevators, wrapped round that woman, and pray for anyone to see. Had he kissed her, licked her, she'd marked his neck. He'd let her touch him. And she hadn't even had the sense to realize it was a gift. Gino tightened his grip on Sidney's sleeve and heard threads pop.
You do not do that again, he said, and took a very deep, very Kobe-like breath.
Sidney reached out and brought his free hand up to Gino's chest, warm fingertips just brushing his t-shirt. He nodded quickly.
I promise, he said.
Gino nodded back. One quick up and down nod of his chin. For a moment his mind was blank.
taken up with the odd stretch of being overextended across Sydney's table, and the feel of Sydney's breath puffing against his skin.
"They really think we're married?" Sydney asked, as a smile began to lift the corner of his mouth.
"Yes," Gino said. "Also, most of Russia."
Sydney blinked. "What?"
"Kiss now," Gino said, tugging on the handful of sleeve. "I explain later."
The end. Thank you for listening.